midweek Wednesday style. You and I chatting it up on April 10th, 2024, right here on Connecticut Today, where I kicked off the show with my thoughts on Education Secretary Miguel Cardona's handling of two key issues, issues where I don't think he's doing a good job. We also got a perspective on the biggest stories around the state with Hearst Connecticut Media columnist and editor Dan Haar. And Connecticut's latest and current contribution to a presidential cabinet continues to embarrass himself, continues to, on a national stage, look like he's incompetent. I'm sorry. There's no other way that you can categorize, the latest performance or lack thereof of Miguel Cardona, who was praised up the wazoo by Governor Ned Lamont here during COVID and, you know, big deal. He shut the schools down like everybody did. How did that work out? Huh? What are all the education experts saying now? But I digress. So Miguel Cardona, thanks to all the hype from, you know, Governor Lamont, obviously he must have made some phone calls about him, said, hey, this guy would make it, or I'm assuming he said that. I don't know that he actually said that, but he said, hey, this guy would make a great education secretary. Yeah. Now, number one, I've been talking to some parents and guardians who are trying to navigate this FAFSA mess, this online portal, this online form that parents or guardians, whomever is the guardian of a minor child, to help get into or attend a college. And the FAFSA rollout has been a disaster, and it still is not getting any better by leaps and bounds. And yet this falls at the feet or at the desk of Miguel Cardona. He's trying to finger point this and the other. Stop it. You spend $338 million on this system that still isn't working properly. Now, they say things are getting better. I'll believe it when I see it. So, and if you're not familiar with it, just Google FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A, the Federal Student Loan Form. Now it's all online. When I went to school, it was done by hand. I get it. We evolve after paper. I got that. But this thing is just incompetence to the nth degree. But Secretary Cardona, who went right here from Connecticut to Washington, is beclowning himself even more. What am I talking about? You know, yesterday I had Chris Powell on. If you were listening, hopefully you were. Chris talking about something that a lot of people are talking about. This verbal jousting, this dust-up, this cha-cha that happened last week amongst members of the Appropriations Committee in Hartford, because everybody got all twisted regarding some people wanting to use pregnant persons versus pregnant women or expectant mothers. You know, perish the thought that in an appropriations bill where money is spent, we may say, hey, let's spend some of it or a good portion of it on helping women. I know it's tough to say women now if you're a Democrat in Hartford. You can't say women. You can't say pregnant woman. You can't say expectant mother. You know, twisting and turning verbally the cha-cha. We have to go with pregnant persons. So they put both in the bill. And it's a clown show. It makes no sense. It is our public officials beclowning themselves, showing how they're doing something. And as Chris mentioned yesterday, what is the end of all this? Is it to alter Title IX, which maybe some of the women's groups ought to have the rhetorical balls? Sorry, I know, ladies, you don't have a set, but rhetorically you may, to stand up and say, hey, what are you doing this for? So I segue again to Miguel Cardona, the current education secretary of the U.S. Through the state of Connecticut. Now, listen to this. And here's the question that I'm posing today and my buddy Chris Powell posed yesterday. What is the end game here? And I'm glad Chris brought that up yesterday. What is the, all these people, well, it's more inclusive, but what does inclusive mean? When you just, and you know, you have the people on the left say, well, the Republicans and the conservatives, they don't like science. Oh, we don't like science. What do you like? When you can't, when some of you, not all of you, because not every one of you is a psycho, some are. But when you have people saying, no, I think we have to use pregnant persons. What? Pregnant persons, no. Have you checked the biology? Have you checked, part A fits into part B? It doesn't work that way. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona repeatedly refused to answer questions on whether, get this, folks, physical differences exist between men and women. This is from the Daily Caller. This is the Education Secretary of the United States of America. By the way, we don't need the Education Department. Do you know that twice before in this country, we didn't have a federal education department? We never did for two times. Did we crank out some pretty smart people those times? Yeah, we did. So the first thing that should be done is to trash the Education Department because it's not necessary because there are times we didn't have it. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, the NAIA, announced Monday that only biological females can play in women's sports at the over 240 universities it represents, which lawmakers referenced at the House Appropriations Committee budget hearing. Cardona has rejected discussing NAIA policy, as he says his department is currently engaged, get this, in a real, and you women, you ladies out there, they're laying the groundwork to destroy women's athletics in the traditional sense. The White House is going to redo Title IX, which I think in 1972, I may be off by a year or two, but Title IX recently had its 50th anniversary. Title IX leveled the playing field for women in this country as far as scholarships, athletics, things like that. But it's not good enough because everything's got to be transgender now. So Cardona has rejected discussing the NAIA policy as he says his department is currently engaged in a related rulemaking process on Title IX. But Maryland GOP Congressman Andy Harris pressed him on the issue. Now get this. And I'm waiting with bated breath, and maybe somebody can tell me about this. I'm waiting to hear from all the women's groups. Oh boy, the women. You say something about abortion, the women's groups, they come out of the cracks in the concrete and the sidewalks. But the fact that Title IX, a landmark federal regulation, is now under assault by the Biden people, it's crickets. Where's the National Organization of Women? Where's now? Where are all these feminists? Crickets. Crickets, I'll tell you. The congressman asked Miguel Cardona an embarrassment. Quote, would you agree that Title IX was necessary to help establish women's sports because women cannot fairly be expected to compete on biological male teams? Cardona began to speak about another topic, but Harris cut him off, saying, please, no filibustering. The congressman then repeated his question, to which Cardona agreed that Title IX was necessary for this reason. Female athletes have sued the NCAA over its policy allowing biological men to compete against women. So then, here's the money question. Harris at now this guy is the Secretary of Education of the United States of America. Harris asked, quote, would you agree that women are physically different from men, unquote. Cardona said, he responds with this, quote, I see where you're going with this. Cardona responded before the congressman cut him off. Harris then repeated the question, to which Cardona gave the same answer, adding, I would love to talk about how we can work together to support the students, before Harris cut him off again. Mr. Secretary, do you agree that biological women are different from biological men physically? This is a simple question for an educator. You're not going to answer. Okay. Cardona is an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment for this. He's an embarrassment for the FAFSA mess. And to which Chris Powell asked the question yesterday, where are we going with this? Well, you know where we are going. It seems to me, and I'm reading a lot about this, it sounds like they want to pass a federal regulation or in some way, shape, or form. Now, I'm not definite about this, but a lot of people are saying, hey, they're going to alter Title IX to cover transgender individuals and put them on a same plane with biological women. That's nuts. And I ask again, where are the women's groups on this? Are you okay with men playing on your team or your daughter's team or your granddaughter's team or your stepdaughter's team? Should they also be in locker rooms as well? This is nuts. And Miguel Cardona is an embarrassment to this state. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Let me grab the right mouse here. Is it Jeray? Jeray, hi. You're on WICC.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
With all due respect, keep in mind that Mr. Cardoza is not an embarrassment. If you recall correctly, when they were hiring the last justice to the Supreme Court, the African-American lady there.
Yeah.
She couldn't tell the difference between an embryo and a child. So please, with all due respect to the man representing Connecticut from the FAFSA, he's not sitting on the United States Supreme Court. Allow him to not answer. Was not allowed to answer specifically.
Jeray, thank you. I appreciate it. Your wonderful sense of humor there came through. I like that. Yes. How dare we? Jeray is right. Thank you for calling. How dare we? How dare we expect the education secretary of the United States of America to answer the question, are men and women different physically and biologically? Oh, my God. I had forgotten. Thanks to our caller for bringing that up. I had forgotten that little cha-cha between Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson and the questioner there. But again, see, this is what happens when you don't anticipate a question or you don't take a breath and say, Congress, here's what he should have said. Well, what should he have said, Paul? Congressman, of course, you and I can sit here and, as reasonable humans, say, yes, of course there are physical and biological differences between men and women. But the issue of Title IX, in my opinion, goes deeper than that, and that's what we're looking at. See? I fixed it for you, Miguel. Dan Haar is with us, Hearst Connecticut Media editor and columnist. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
If you do not pay your columnist at least $250,000...
Are you entering the transfer portal? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I want to be a columnist in Idaho. At the Idaho Statesman Review.
Yeah, but Dan, honestly, before we go to housing and all this other grisly stuff, greasy stuff, I mean, that's a lot of people don't realize that, Dan. They might not think it's to that extent, but at a lot of colleges, not everyone, but you have a little bit of a sports background, if you win, the alumni write checks, and they're happy, and they go to games, right? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's generally true. I think it can be taken to an extreme. If Kentucky wants to pay $10 million, I don't know that there's a payoff at that level.
Yeah.
This is the old debate in economic development,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you can justify any expense by saying money begets money. But at a certain point, you're chasing the same dollars with more dollars.
Sure.
And so that you never know. This is like the film tax credit that we discussed a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut has paid $1.7 billion in film tax credits. How much of that activity would have taken place here if we didn't have any of it? Well, a lot of it would be gone, but there becomes a point where there's a diminishing return. We are maybe we may not be at that point yet with Dan Hurley, but wait 5 years when he hasn't made, you know, if he loses his five starters and he doesn't make the NCAA tournament for the next 5 years,
yeah,
you know, things turn around. But he's a good coach and he's a good guy to have around. And the broader economic benefit to the state is clear, not just through direct transactions of money raised because the team is successful, but the real benefit financially to the state, is do people in Connecticut feel better about where they live and therefore are more likely to stay here, work harder here, spend money here, and be psyched about the place. If that's the case, and I'm not saying it is, if that's the case, then the payoff becomes gargantuan and $5 million becomes a drop in the bucket.
Good analysis there. Also, you're watching what is happening, Dan, or maybe not happening, is we're about two-thirds of the way on the through the short session in Hartford, and it looks like, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, housing is like kryptonite again, and housing rules and what to do for this session of the General Assembly, especially in an election year.
What's the rhyme? Words? Stick to you. Stick to stone. Anyway, yes, we're going to be hearing in the next little bit, few days, more about some of the housing bills that may or may not make it, because housing is arguably the biggest issue in the state, of course, and that's more the case now. But it may become less of a crisis if we go into a slowdown. But for now, while the economy is booming, housing is the short end of the stick. And there's big reform that we were looking to get a year ago this time out of the legislature that didn't happen then and is never going to have happened. It was never even on the dance card this year. And that is the holy grail. That is, can developers get to build more affordable housing in rich towns like New Canaan and Darien and even the Fairfields of the world? And the answer is no. Those towns still have solid home rule, and the governor doesn't want to change that. But at the smaller level, $20 million for the homeless response system. Is that going to be passed? That's a Senate bill. Leveraging housing vouchers, that is, making it possible for housing vouchers to be used in any town and not just the big cities. There was a housing growth fund that was rewarding communities that have been doing their part to allow construction of housing that the state needs. There was a benefit. Lamont's been talking about it, but we don't see the money unless it's coming out of bonding, and we haven't seen it there either. Just cause eviction, which I don't agree with that one. I call it just cause chaos because that's the one where it's really well-meaning. But the list goes on and on, and the point is, that you can look at this in the environment, you can look at this in education, you can look at it in any number of areas and say, forget the huge big reforms like car tax reform. What about the little stuff? Is any of that going to get done? This is the time of year with 3 weeks left when we worry that even the little stuff won't get done.
Yeah, it's like the great Hank Stram said in that clip with the Chiefs, just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys. That's it, little at a time. And Dan, I've noticed in the coverage you people have had in Hearst, too, with these apartment conversions and these new apartments in and about Fairfield County and between New Haven and Bridgeport and everything, it looks like, Dan, some of these developers, they're using kind of the carrot and the stick here, where I see a couple of places are going to go beyond the 10% of affordable market rate units to 15 and 20%. I'm seeing a little more of that to kind of make both sides happy, which I think is a good thing.
I have not seen that, and you're closer to it than I am, and I need to get closer to it. What I will say is that some towns are saying we don't have the sewer infrastructure.
Yeah.
And there was also a bill to advance money to towns to take away that excuse and say, okay, here's money for sewers. And that money, a lot of this stems from the fact that the Appropriations Committee, which sets spending, punted and said, we're not going to ask for anything. We're just forget about it. Let's just go with what we got.
Yeah. Finally, Dan, you had mentioned to me, and I've done a couple segments with this just with myself and with some guests, this cha-cha last week about the language in what otherwise, Dan, would have been kind of innocuous, a line or two in an appropriations bill, but it kind of snowballed and ballooned and got ate up like red meat for loudmouth talk show hosts like me, and also got picked up in the national media. But I just look at this and I kind of go, you know, whatever. But again, it may seem inconsequential, but it's one of those things, Dan, that really can set off a debate about what are we doing here, you know?
Well, this is the argument between Democrats, where Republicans were along for the ride. Republicans were basically cheering on the Iran-Iraq war. That is to say, let's hope both sides beat the Jesus out of each other. And it was the largely black and Hispanic Democrats against the largely white liberal Democrats. The white liberal Democrats wanted to change the wording, or did change the wording in a bill. The underlying bill is not important. It was about mental health. It's an important bill, but it's not about the debate. And they wanted to change the beneficiaries to pregnant persons.
Yes.
And the other faction, largely but not entirely racial minority legislators led by Robin Porter of New Haven. New Haven wanted to say, we're having none of that. We want that word mother in there.
And let's
make expectant mother be the word. But the Robin Porter was happy to see the other word in there and say, let's do expectant mothers and pregnant persons. But the pregnant persons faction didn't want expectant mothers, because that's tipping the scales towards one gender over the other. And that's where we are. I don't happen to believe there's any big policy implication. And I don't believe that Representative Jillian Gilchrist, who was on the leading the charge on the language change, I don't happen to believe that she has an ulterior motive to change the social structure of America and merge the genders. That's what the Republicans are saying. I disagree.
So you don't think this will end up on the level with the Lincoln-Douglas debates when we look back on this from years from now? You don't think so?
I think it may have as much political implication as the Lincoln-Douglas debates, because it could hand the things like this could hand the election to Trump. And for those of us who think that Donald Trump is the single greatest danger to civilization, which I do, and this nonsense about Trump derangement syndrome is just a bunch of horse hockey.
Okay.
It's not a derangement. It's a legitimate fear that this guy is a fascist. And we, the Democrats — I'm no longer a Democrat, I'm a Republican now — but the Democrats are handing the Republicans this issue on a silver platter. Other Democrats say, no, let's just have the debate. This is not dangerous. We disagree. We're a big tent party, and let's keep going. And that's where we are.
And finally, Dan, as we wrap up, have your friends now stopped any interventions? Are they now comfortable with the fact that you are still in the Republican Party? Are they okay with that?
Well, I said enough things about my protest stance that I almost got kicked out. The Republican registrar of West Hartford, who does a fabulous job and is extremely conscientious, informed me that if I make public statements that I'm only a Republican to subvert the party, I can be kicked out of the party.
Really?
And so what I said was, I'm here to subvert the party in respect to Trump, but I really do like Nikki Haley.
There you go.
I voted for Nikki Haley. So the answer is yes, the Democrats, to the extent that I'm saying it's just a ruse, the Democrats are cheering me on. To the extent that I actually say I like Nikki Haley, they're like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, Har. Hold on. Dan Har, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, once again, great stuff. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Have a great week.
Take care. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. How about that, huh? Easy, Har. Watch what you say.